Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
And we are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Kids! I don't know what's wrong with these kids today.
Tell me about it.
Kids, who can understand anything they say?
This is Wretched Radio.
Kids, they are disobedient, disrespectful oafs. Noisy, crazy, sloppy, lazy loafers. While we're on the subject, kids, you can talk and talk till your face is blue. Kids, but they still do just what they want to do. Why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way? What's the matter with kids today?
Oh, if Paul Lynde were alive today, he'd be scratching his head, wondering what's the matter with kids today, which is a generational question, is it not? Every generation looks back on the upcoming generation that is a little different, scratches its head, and perhaps laments, what's the matter with kids today? Gotta be careful when we do that. Nothing wrong with examining an entire people group to see some sort of stereotypes. That's right. Stereotypes exist for a reason. Because there are stereotypes. We want to make sure that we're not judging the kids based on things that are just going to change with time, like communication, transportation, technology, industry, clothing, hairstyles, all of those things. They're always going to be shifting and changing. And whilst we can look back and go, the 80s were so much better than the 70s and every other generation. Yes, they were. Why are you shaking your head?
90s were better.
You see, that's because you grew up in the 90s. You know what I'm waiting for from the 80s? Please, let's even compromise on this. If you remember, the 80s kind of were like the 20s when it came to men's pants. If you recall, like guys like Cary Grant, their pants came up to about the middle of their abdomen. Now the dopey pants, it's like, hello, with the rise, can we at least compromise and not have these low-riding clothing trends that just won't seem to go away and return to the 80s, which are better? We want to make sure that we don't do what I just did. But that doesn't mean we cannot examine a generation and ask some questions about what's the matter, because clearly something is the matter. This seems to be more than teen angst that's always existed. Ask Jimmy Dean. He tapped into that. He was the angstiest of the angst because he represented teenagers in general. That's always been pretty standard. The teenage years can be a little bit tricky, but I do believe it is fair for us to conclude the current generation of Gen Zers, there's something wrong. There's something off with this particular generation. And I do believe Avatar can help us. That's right. I actually read an article in the Gospel Coalition. I went to the Gospel Coalition article titled How Avatar Taps into Gen Z's Core Longings, because I thought, here we go again. Another article that finds the gospel obscurely buried, supposedly, in a secular movie. See? Look. The gospel is in Taylor Swift lyrics. If you take every seventh word and a couple of times make a few exceptions, it actually spells out L-U-U-V, love. See, Taylor Swift included John 3:16. I expected that from this article, and I was pleasantly disappointed. I actually found it insightful and helpful, and perhaps just sheds a little light on why Gen Z is, and this, it's scientific, they're struggling more. They're bleak. They're without hope. I know there's always been younger people like that. I get that. But everybody is recognizing there's a depression pandemic. Hopefully they don't come up with a jab for that exact, but they will get medication and prescription medication. It is, I just saw a t-shirt that said, if you're happy and you know it, it's your meds. Wow, we're just right out there with it these days. The generation that is coming up is hurting. We're seeing them on university campuses looking for a cause and a purpose. They want something to rally around. Let's see if Avatar can help. An article by Genevieve Robby, R-O-B-Y. When the original Avatar released in 2009, it's a movie. I wasn't exactly sure myself. I mean, I knew it was a something. Trust me, Gen Zer. Some year, you're going to be utterly clueless about every single movie that Hollywood produces. I promise you that will happen. The sun rises, the sun sets. You're going to get to an age where you're like, who's that celebrity? Why are they on the red carpet? They won a Grammy for the... When the original Avatar released in 2009, journalists observed a phenomenon they called post-Avatar depression. What? Moviegoers devastated with lingering longings for Pandora's fantasy world, which I find amazing, quite honestly, because every time I go to Pandora, it ain't a wonderful planet. I always leave hungry, the bakery overpriced, hello, and not always that consistently good, and they never give you butter with the bread. And how do you run out of butter and bread at Pandora?
Todd.
What?
That's not Pandora. That's Panera Bread, isn't it?
Details. I noticed thousands of TikTok videos focused on helping viewers reality shift to Pandora. Apparently Pandora, according to Jimmy, isn't an overpriced restaurant that always leaves you hungry. Instead, it's a planet that's better than Earth. We have wrecked the unit. We've wrecked the planet. We've wrecked our place. Don't let those humans in. You've got to really work hard to be a part of Pandora because it's utopia, don't you know? Which an entire generation is seeking. Utopia. What was regarded as a pretty rogue book once upon a time, describing how it is that we can all live in peace. Well, we've determined communism is the ticket. Well, guess what? It's not. It's a horrific form of government that promises utopia and only delivers to a few, and I mean a few. If the people who are in favor of socialism and communism lament, these rich people, they have too much stuff. Wait till communism comes in. It'll be even fewer richer people. Nevertheless, the utopia that is Pandora leaves the people that watch it longing for such a place. TikTok videos were created and viewed primarily by my generation, writes the author, Gen Z. Comments full of young people wishing they could leave Earth behind. Now, I don't know if Pandora created the longings or it tapped into the longings. Nevertheless, there are three longings that this woman who wrote this article says that Pandora, it reflects exactly what's going on with this generation. Let's learn together, shall we? One, my generation wants to escape from their bodies. They want out. They were born into the wrong one. It doesn't have the right shape. It's not as fit as it should be. I'm not as athletic. I'm not as good looking. They want out of their bodies. Or, of course, these days, a gender to be in something that reflects their true self. With gender dysphoria, some people feel trapped in a body that doesn't match what they perceive to be their gender. You've got body dysmorphia, that their bodies must match the photoshopped and filtered physiques of social media influencers. Either way, these kids want out of their bodies. Do we have anything to say to this generation? And the answer is a resounding absolutely we do. Yes, you're right about bodies. They're super important. But here's why. Not because they get more likes, not because you get more followers, not because you get to become a social influencer, whatever that means, but because God made it. He designed you exactly the way that He wants you. Now, maybe what they say on the internet, who cares? What you should be caring about is what the designer thinks about your body. And apparently that's exactly the way that He wants you to look, and He is well pleased with His work. Christians can empathize with Gen Z's frustrations with their bodies. Yet the hope of the gospel isn't an escape from our original bodies into alien ones, but a restoration of the good bodies God has already given to us. So we can preach the gospel and say, you know what? You've got a longing for a better body? Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 15. Guess what you're going to get? A better body. It's going to be fit for eternity. No more tears, no more sorrow, no feeling like, oh, I'm not as tall as, oh, my hair isn't that color. None of that. You're going to get a body fashioned by God, built for eternity. The gospel speaks into Gen Z longings. And this is why I've got to find that Trevin Wax article. Where is that Trevin? He was talking about, I thought I had it here on my desk, how he's recognizing that Gen Z, they want actually something bigger. They don't want silly. They don't want pizza parties at youth group anymore. They can get their own pizza. Okay, maybe not so much these days. Hey, have you seen the prices of even the pizza these days? Used to be a cheap meal. Now, I was in a pizza place. A large pizza was $25 for a pizza. The prices are absolutely ballistic. And the kids these days, they've got spending money. They can go get pizza. And if not, they can cook a frozen pizza at home. They don't need it at church. What they need is something bigger than Avatar, with a worldview that calls them up, explains reality as it is, and offers them purpose and hope. Maybe that's what's the matter with kids these days. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a time where the foundations of our society are crumbling. Truth is being exchanged for lies, but we at Gospel Partners Media refuse to sit back and watch it happen. That's why we're building a Christian version of the Daily Wire. And we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. We're bringing in 8 new powerful voices to invade Christian media with the truth of God's word. But here's the thing, we need your help in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. And look, we all know times are tough, money is tight, but this is much more than just another donation. It's about investing in the future of our faith, our families, and our world. So if you're currently in a place right now in your life that you can give to this initiative, we would greatly appreciate the partnership. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle. And you finally get to the point of frustration where you think you're never going to get out. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. And in that scenario, we welcome you to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And whether you've listened or not, you'll realize really quickly it's not your everyday radio show. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford takes issues that many, if not all of us, struggle with, and it matches them up to hope and healing through the pages of the Bible. It is genuinely an entirely new perspective. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, no. Have I apostatized? This is Wretched Radio in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers. A helpful article from, hurts a little to say, the Gospel Coalition, how Avatar taps into Gen Z's core longings. But in my other set of non-nicotine-stained fingers, a Trevin Wax, I found the Trevin Wax article.
Okay.
Yep, it was in the Gospel Coalition.
Ah, so you...
Oh. I've apostatized, apparently, Gen Z and the draw to serious faith. Let's tackle Avatar first. Then let's hear an encouraging word from Trevin Wax, who has identified what I do believe is a trend these days. The kids, they want something serious. They want something big. They want something lofty. They want something Pandora, which is what the article by Genevieve Robbie addresses, how Avatar taps into Gen Z's core longings. One, my generation wants to escape from their bodies. Apparently, the story is it's a guy and he is, I think, a quadriplegic or he's somehow not able to function fully. And he operates as an avatar by using his brain, sort of like what Elon Musk is creating, to perform and to be in a place that isn't his body, but it kind of feels like his body because it's functioning and his brain is allowed to operate it. That's my understanding. And the observation from this journalist is that's the kids these days. They want out of their current bodies. They believe that their current body is deficient. They want another body. And her comment, correctly stated, is you're going to get one. It's going to, by the way, it's going to be the same body made for eternity. God is interested in the body. We can echo that sentiment with the Gen Zers. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You see, we don't believe in just some spiritual realm. But we don't believe in a merely physical realm. We're dualistic in that regard, body and soul. God cares about the body. We have a word to speak. And speaking of bodies, did you know that the body of Jesus Christ was brutally executed and he died and he rose again and he still has a body? You've got something to look forward to. We can speak to their longings. Longing number two, my generation wants to escape from the planet. This most striking part of the Avatar films is the gorgeously rendered world of Pandora's glowing, shimmering, unspoiled nature. They revere their planet. It's the mother. Avatar's core conflict is the protection of this pristine, Edenic world from the abuses of human invaders. Is it any wonder why so many young people, they've made their religion green? It's the mother. They need something. They want something. They have been told that mother is God. But don't we have Earth Day coming up? That I believe Earth Day is coming up. If not, I missed it. Where we worship the planet. Human longing for unspoiled paradise is as old as the fall, but Pandora's Edenic aesthetic is especially appealing to a Gen Z audience given our growing environmental anxiety. They are in a panic. There are kids who are literally afraid to get married and have children because this place is just going to burn up. They've been terrified because of supposed climate change. Viral TikToks made by and for Gen Z declare climate change will reduce the world's beauty into an apocalyptic wasteland. Every good deed seems wasted, doomed to be undone. Guess what? They're right. The planet is going to be burned up, but not by man, by God, as he makes it new. Revelation 21:5, behold, I'm making all things new. One day, Romans 8:21, creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption and attain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We should have anticipated that this is how this generation would feel. Why? Because the Bible actually addresses these issues. And when we aren't giving them the answers to the questions that they're asking, they go looking to Avatar? Apparently so. Number three, my generation wants to escape from loneliness. The people who live on Pandora Navi? Idyllic tribal unity, greeting each other by saying, here's contemporary therapeutic language. I see you. Everybody understands me. My wants, my needs, my hurts. This has the connotation of fully understanding the other through the eyes of love. Melissa Manchester aside, my generation is facing a loneliness epidemic. Most relationships maintained over social media, where we only display curated versions of ourselves. We're physically isolated. Is there any place where people can go to not be physically isolated, where they can be seen, where they can be known, and where they can be loved? Warts and all. I don't know. Maybe a local church. We have the fulfillment of the longings of this generation. But this is what happens when we turn youth group into pizza parties and dumb it down, which leads us back to Gen Z and the Draw to Serious Faith by Trevin Wax. Quote, listen to Gen Z churchgoers today and you'll hear conversations about powerful worship songs that facilitate an experience with God, about the realness of the preacher who just tells it like it is from the Bible, and about the beauty of church architecture and older traditions and recitations. This is why Candace Owen ran away. I'm convinced of it. Yeah, she married a Roman Catholic husband. But this connectedness to the ancient is huge. And young people that are going to Protestant evangelical churches, they're digging the old confessions, the old statements of faith. They're reading these statements that were written by believers centuries ago and going, yeah, I'm connected to that. When young people accept the invitation to visit a church, they've already committed to experiencing something unusual. Attempts at being overly accommodating or making the church seem cool come off as desperate and insecure. If your ministry, writes Wax, is seeker-sensitive and attractional today, remember that churchiness of church is a draw, not a turnoff. And that would go for architecture. That would go for buildings that are different, that even the untrained eye recognizes that's beautiful. That's transcendent. That's elevating. That's bigger than me. That's what a church building can do, and the kids are digging it. Wax, unfortunately, many pastors have yet to figure this out. Too many churches still think the way to reach young people is to replicate the entertainment you can get elsewhere, or lean into social activism. That's what the kids are doing. They want a cause. They want to feel a part of something. Young people are swimming in pools of superficiality with torrents of information flooding through their magical devices, adrift in a sea without navigation, in a world where moral strictures have been blown up in the name of freedom. Many long for paths of formation, growth, and maturity. Find them and bring them to a church that's sober-minded. I didn't say dour and depressed. I said that's alive and vibrant and loving. I have to confess to you, this is going to sound like it's self-serving. Well, because it probably is. But nevertheless, the fact is our church, Alpharetta Bible Church, That's what we all talk about. This is family. We come together. The church service ends and it's like 2 hours later. I guess we should like leave and like eat because we just want to stay and talk. That's the local church loving one another. And I agree with the people who see that the old hymns, they seem so depressed. Well, if the people aren't singing them with vigor, that's an indicator of a different issue, but it is not a critique of the contents of those wonderful hymns, which the kids are actually liking because they're bigger and they're smart and they're thoughtful and not so repetitive. Previous iterations of attractional ministry, writes Wax, too often made discipleship the fine print at the bottom of the gospel presentation. Today, if you want to attract young people, lead with the fine print. And that is exactly what Jesus did. How do I know I preached on it Sunday morning? Did I mention Alpharetta Bible Church? That Jesus with a scribe. Hey, I'll follow you anywhere. That's the emphasis. I'll go anywhere. Do you know Son of Man doesn't have a bed? Foxes have holes. I ain't got nothing. You want to come? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. That's up front. And what did it do? It apparently gleaned out an enthusiastic follower who was one of the three soils that wasn't genuine. Jesus did that up front, and he did it constantly. Put your hand to the plow. Let the dead bury the dead. Your love for me should make your love for your parents seem like hatred by comparison. Those were the messages up front. And guess what? Not only are we being biblically when we do that, the kids these days, they're digging it. Because it calls them up to something and they recognize there's more here than just a pizza party. This is Wretched Radio.